Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of 1 John chapter 4, we were taught that we should love doing the work of the Lord. Well, let's start the week with that thought, and then also let's end the year with what a wonderful thought as that. Don't forget the example of Barnabas bringing a man named Saul when all the apostles did not want him there. They heard of the way this guy was who had drug people off to prison, men and women. Gave the go-ahead for death penalty and all that. But yet the same one, the same apostle that had Barnabas stand in for him, later when Barnabas tries to stand in for Mark to him, he rejects. He rejects it, and he and Barnabas end up parting company. Yet later, the same apostle Paul asks to send Mark. Now somehow, the second time when Paul does send for Mark, it's because Mark has proven himself. Isn't it great that we have the God of the second chance? Now some people like to get down on Barnabas for trying to bring Mark with him the second time. I don't know, but there are people that put the Apostle Paul almost as Jesus Christ, as somebody to be worshipped. Paul is just like you and me, if you're saved, that a sinner saved by the grace of God. Was he a better Christian? Probably so. I don't have any doubt about that he was better than I am. But I'm just saying that he was still susceptible to make mistakes. And he even said in Romans chapter 7, the good that I would do, I end up not doing it. And the bad that I wouldn't do, I end up doing it. Oh, wretched man that I am. So remember, we worship the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we're thankful for men of God, whether it was a Paul or Barnabas, or others from whom we can learn. God even used Mark to write a New Testament book. God is the God of the second chance. Why can't you be the brother or sister of Christ who's willing to give your brothers and sisters in Christ a second chance if they repent? Praise God for Barnabas and his way of life that was like Christ in his forgiveness. But don't miss this also. Loving as Christ should have us to love as he loved. And loving Christ would have us to, how should I say this? Don't miss this. Loving Christ would have us to love his work. Because if we love him and we're committed to him, we're going to do work. But we're going to do the work that's in his heart, in his word, and his desire. And it's not going to be built upon convenience. It's not going to be built on just word. It's going to be built on doing. And that ought to be a way of life for each of us. Now, again, let me say it. A real love in your heart is a love that is going to work. Because you love Jesus Christ, you serve him. But don't look at it as working as some kind of a legalistic thing. Well, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is a matter of Sunday, so I guess I got to be in church. I don't like going, but I'll be there. No, that's not any love in that whatever. So you make sure that your love is a love that's as Christ loves. A love that already has forgiveness in your heart, ready to extend as soon as a person will repent and confess. And a love that is a commitment that seeks to help to bring others back to repentance and faith. And it seeks to carry out the will of God. This ought to be a way of life for each of us. Now, not only the way of life that in what we ought to do, but next, we ought to see the way of life in love for others. Now in verse 12, he said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, as you think of this text verse here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, that is a beautiful sounding verse. I mean, doesn't that sound good? When he says, no man has seen God at any time, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. That really sounds great. And as I said earlier, when I started here on verses 11 through 13, it reminded us of John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. How do we know God? By knowing Jesus Christ. Now, in this life, we live by faith, and we accept him by faith. We are saved by faith, but my friend, let me tell you something. We live the Christian life by faith. You see, we have a faith that works. We don't work to be saved, but rather we work because we are saved. You buy a house, you make a down payment, you start making payments. You mow the yard, you paint when it needs painting while you're doing it. You don't work at mowing the yard and painting the house to earn the house. The house is being paid for with money. You may pay cash for a house. Let's just say you paid cash for a house. Okay, then you paint, you repair, you mow. Why do you do that? Are you working to keep your house? No, you do it because it's your house and you want it to be in good working order and look good. Well, we serve God because we're saved, and it's with a commitment that is as great, if not greater, than the marital commitment. And that's what the Bible teaches, by the way. Whether a person will believe that or not, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, we do it by faith. Just understand, it's in heaven that our faith is made sight. So this scripture on love should be accepted in faith as all scriptures, and we should act accordingly, knowing that there's going to be one day when we stand before the Lord and all of this will be rewarded. Now, in Matthew 5:46-47, it says, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" Okay, so that's what unsaved people can love their friends that love them. So this is people that are brothers and sisters in Christ who are unlovely in actions and in other ways, but you love them still. He says, verse 47 there, Matthew 5, if ye so love your brethren only, what do you then more than others? Do not even the publicans? So they say, well, I'll love this one, but I won't love that one. Well, you're not doing any better than the unsaved do. Decide that you love Christ. Now, if we love one another, is in Greek, which is in which it was written, a present subjunctive active. You say, boy, that sounds important, doesn't it? Well, it simply means this. We actively, continually love one another. And when we do, God dwelleth in us. And the idea of dwelleth is not that, well, you have the Lord and then you don't have him. The idea is that he is manifested in you. The manifestation is of Christ. One identifying factor of that is that we love one another. And it's very, very clear. And so, actively love each other. God dwelleth in us. God dwelleth in you. And you're right with him as a Christian. Guess what? You'll love the brethren. As John 13:34-35, again, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all the world know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, since we are made in His image, that is, in His, the image of His Spirit, we go by the name Christian, Christ-like. And if that's what you are, then your love needs to be manifested towards one another. The disciples, men as Paul, Mark, Barnabas, when we pointed that out, Christ-like love loves one another, loves the brethren. Now, I'm just teaching you what the Bible says. Now, this is not talking about compromising with sin. It's not talking about just pretending that it's just not there in their lives. No, it's real, and you deal with those things. But you can be saved and not be a Christian. You say, what do you mean you can be saved and not be a Christian? You can be saved and not be Christ-like. Those are the people that are saved so as by fire. You see, people spend entirely too much time in a sermon trying to figure out what the preacher said instead of listening to see what God is saying to them. And when you get to that direction, my friend, you're prophetic. You are just pathetic. Again, when you're listening to a sermon, trying to figure out what the preacher said and the reasoning behind what he is saying, that's pathetic. I've actually had it come back to me is that people said this about something I've said that was the person talking to him would say, this is what he said, and that's scriptural. And they would give him this answer. That is what he said. But that is not what he really means. I even asked a guy, on the national level, there was a pastor who preached repentance, a preacher that preached repentance. And this guy was attacking him on his blog or whatever, saying he doesn't believe in repentance, he doesn't preach repentance. Well, I knew he did. I even sat down and talked to that national preacher to find out if he did what he stood. He stood right on it like we do about repentance and faith in salvation. Now, he didn't believe in a salvation that, well, if you messed up, you obviously didn't get saved. He wasn't talking about that kind of a thing. He was talking about just the fact that you're turning from and turning to, turning from yourself and sin and to Christ, the Savior. Well, when I got the man that blogged about him and said, this is what he said, well, that's what he said to you. But that's not what he does. Well, I had heard him preach, and later he even wrote a book on it, but When people say that's what they say, but that's not what they really mean, that is a person that you realize that you just step away from them and realize you can't trust what they say. But also when a person says, well, that's what they said, that's not what they really mean, that also means that you're claiming deity for yourself. Because you're saying, I know their thoughts and intents.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands.